Welcome, and thank you for listening to Optics in Action, where we showcase leaders with vision and clarity. My name is Ryan Weiss, founder and CEO of EPS. Our team is focused on enabling companies to align people and process for increased revenue, profitability, and scalable growth, while reducing the frustrations of your employees and customers. If you or someone you know is interested in applying to be a guest on this podcast, you can find more information at podcast.epsoptics.com. Let's get to our next guest. Hello and welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Optics in Action, where we spotlight leaders with vision and clarity. And today I am super excited to have with us the CEO of teambuilding.com, Michael Alexis. Michael, welcome to this podcast episode. We're excited to have you and learn more about teambuilding.com and about your purpose and process and people that that you've worked with and led throughout your career.
Thank you for having me.
So welcome. So tell us at first, I always like to start with your purpose. Why do you do what you do? So teambuilding.com, like looking at the website, so there's really some interesting stuff there, but what compels you? Why do you do what you do? What's your purpose in all of this?
Cool. Yeah, we can dive in. So teambuilding.com, nobody has ever been surprised that we run team building events, right? Mostly for corporate clients like Google, Apple, Amazon, we've got NASA, Netflix, many, many others that want to have their employees come have fun events with us. We do themed games, activities, et cetera. For me, I mean, our mission is to help people be happier at work. And that's something super important at a mass scale, but also down to the individual. So in the early days of the pandemic, for example, we had a couple of reviews that I still find incredibly motivating. These were reviews from participants in our events. One was a lady who said, look, like with everything that's going on in the world right now, just for these 90 minutes, I felt normal again, right? Like I was able to forget all that stuff that was going on. And global pandemic is one thing, but we all have stuff going on in our lives and we all have stuff going on at work, and help people be able to separate from that and just have a good time with their coworkers and feel moments of joy in the workday, I think is really, really important. Another one is, I guess, similar in ways, different in others. It was a computer programmer, but he wrote in his review, his testimonial, he said, well, I've sat next to Tom for 3 years. This is the most we've ever talked, right? So creating those connections at work that matter, because like study after study shows that like if you have close friends at work, you're happier there, you stay longer, you're more engaged, and that's good for the employees. It's also good for the business. So I see it as a really positive influence that the company can have, and then by proxy that I can have out there.
Fantastic. So I think in our culture, there's a lot of discussion about employee engagement and employees being disengaged. And during the pandemic, there was even, you know, these concepts of quiet quitting and these types of things. And I think that's really a big challenge. And I think so I could see sort of both sides of what you just talked about. On the one side, it's about how do we we get better employee productivity and better employee engagement. And I imagine there's better mental health outcomes and things like that as well that we may talk about. On the other hand, it's also trying to offset some of these negative things that seem to be permeating society and culture. And so I think you're having a double benefit there of making positive impact and offsetting some of these negative things that we're hearing about in the news. So I love sort of the purpose there that you've articulated and walked through. How have you seen some of this evolve and change in terms of what you do through the pandemic? So you mentioned those sort of compelling reviews from early in the pandemic. How have you seen things evolve now that we're post-pandemic, now that, you know, there's different dynamics in the workforce over the past 3 or 4 years? What do you do and how has that evolved over the last few years?
Oh my goodness, it's changed a lot. So prior to the pandemic, we were entirely in person for events. We had done, I think, like one virtual event to the years that we had been in business, but otherwise it was all in person. We did funky museum tours in some of the best museums in the world. We did guacamole making competitions. Day one of the pandemic, that all disappeared very quickly, right? Nobody was meeting in person. Nobody was doing group events or travel, et cetera, for work. And so we launched virtual team building offerings. We were the first team building company to do that in a major way and saw enormous uptake with actually some interesting highlights. So, like, virtual team building seemed obvious, right? Like, people are still going to want to be able to connect. And especially in a time when everybody was, or many people were working remote for the first time. But then we also saw unique pickups. For us, anyways, which is that companies were doing virtual Halloween parties and bringing us in to support that, which was not a thing that ex you know, nobody brought us in for like a Halloween team building event in person. So it was something unique to being online. And then virtual holiday parties as well was the busiest months that we've ever had. We were running thousands and thousands of events. So really, really, really scaled. As the pandemic came and went, we saw that with direct volume effects on the business. And really, depending on the country, right? Like, the US was operating very differently than some international locations. So sometimes it would be weighted one or the other. In general, over the last 3 years, though, it's been a downward trend for virtual. We're certainly not at peak pandemic anymore, and more companies are doing in person. But what's interesting is that there's still substantially more virtual team building than there was from before the pandemic. Again, before there was almost none, right? I mean, there's a handful of fully remote companies. Now, still, the majority of our business is virtual, and that is a result of everything you hear about hybrid work, right? And the difficulties of getting people to return to office. Also, imagine you have a dozen people on your team. If one or two of them are remote, you still want to be inclusive of them and find ways to connect. And so everybody, including us, is still finding the best way to take care of the group as a whole. But yeah, trend towards doing more in person. We'll do more this year than we did last year. And I expect that'll continue on into the future too.
What are one of the things that I observed throughout the pandemic and over the last couple of years is the concept of hybrid and the challenges of hybrid. And I imagine you saw some of that in these team buildings that, for example, when I'm there's multiple definitions of hybrid. So I'll say, like, when you have some people in a room and some people on a screen. So have you had to navigate any of those types of situations where you've got a team building with some people physically together and some people on a screen? And or if you do a virtual, is it purely virtual? If you do it in person, is it purely in person?
No, we did the hybrid as well. And you're right, it is funky because everybody defines it a little bit differently. And so, for example, yeah, we might have 6 or 10 people in a conference room and then another couple dozen that are off individually virtual. And so we've had to adapt our activities and even some of our entire events to accommodate that. An activity level would be, on Zoom like this, we'd often have a breakout room where maybe there's 30 people on the call in total, and we'll send groups of 5 or 6 into smaller breakout rooms so that they can work together on trivia or problem solving or puzzles or whatever it happens to be, murder mystery solving. And so we need to be pretty deliberate about making sure that the people in the conference room or whatever it might be are able to participate in that way too. So the easiest solution is if there were just 6 of them, well, they can be their own breakout room, right? They have the privacy to solve the problems without giving away clues to the other groups. If they're larger, it takes a little bit of finesse, but our hosts are experts at kind of guiding those experiences and making sure that it can still work well for everybody. Aside from that, we have actually built events where it kind of doesn't matter what the configuration is. So no matter how people show up, we're able to run it successfully. And we can do that on all platforms at this point, right? We can do it on Zoom, we can do it on Microsoft Teams, we can do it on Google Meet, because those have got differences too.
I think early on in the pandemic, I had a client who was using, well, there was the was it GoToMeeting or something, and then there was the WebEx, and there was also Adobe Connect. It was like you had all of these technology jams going on at once. And so I love that you know, as you think about the process, and as you said, we've developed or you've evolved and developed those activities that it doesn't really matter if it's, the platform or things like that. Do you see those team dynamics of when you've got people in a conference room and you've got people on a screen, what have you learned about drawing in the people on the screen? Or do you see that the people on the screen are sometimes left out because it's a more intimate setting in person? Like, how do you navigate some of that?
Yeah, we found ways to mitigate that. And actually, it's not just a virtual problem, right? Even if you do an event in person, people break off into little subgroups, and somebody who's more introverted might not feel like there's part of the event. So our hosts are incredible at getting each person in the event to engage and participate. Partly that's game structure, where, if everybody's done a scavenger hunt where there's one person that's holding the map and like running ahead and you're just trying to keep up. That's a really shitty experience, right? It's really, really bad. Same could be said of escape rooms, right? You got five people there, two of them are great at escape rooms, the other three are kind of watching and waiting to try to participate the best they can. So we deliberately structure our games and events that everybody on a team or in a group has a role and has a way to participate. We also do a really good job of, I don't know if you'd call it calling out or calling in, but if we're noticing that somebody is disengaging, find a friendly way to bring them back in. So that might be in our trivia sessions, for example. We ask pretty unique and interesting trivia that I think people like to participate in, but we also ask follow-up questions. So imagine the trivia was something about 80s music, right? And somebody gets the answer right. Well, the follow-up is like, oh, anybody that's willing to sing that song is going to get extra points for their team, or anybody that can show me an old record on screen is going to get extra points. And so different ways for different people to participate goes a long way to making sure that they actually do.
Yeah. No, I think there's some fantastic learnings about people engagement in that. As facilitators, I think, figuring out how do we draw in everyone, and I think that's a really important insight. There are some people who are more introverted. There are people who have different interests than other people, even within a team. And one of the organizations that I worked with early on, we asked a question about, how do you prefer to learn? And it was a big sales group, and I think there's this perception about salespeople that they like to talk, or they like to they you know they get trained to listen, or these type of things. But the diversity of preferences of how these people liked to learn and consume information was really eye-opening. And so I think, the thing that you just shared about drawing in everyone and being aware of that applies to every business leader, applies to every facility. I think that's a great insight. So how would you say, as companies think about the return on investment maybe that they get from team building or from these types of activities and things like that, is there a way that you help organizations to think about that ROI or think about the benefits that they can get from a team building event?
Yeah, I know how we think about it, which is that we want our pay to be accurate, right? We want it to accurately reflect the value that employees produce, and we want our benefits to be generous. And I think that's the best way to be competitive in a work environment where people are more and more selective about what that work experience is, right? We're no longer, I don't know, joining a company when we're 20 and working through until we're pensioned. And so I think of it kind of like a table, right? Imagine a table has a lot of legs, and one of those legs is retirement benefits, and one of those legs is paid time off, and one is how you compensate for XYZ or perks or something like this. Team building is one of those legs. So could you get by without doing it? Sure you could, right? Like, as long as you're strong on the other ones, your table's still going to be sturdy enough, but maybe it'll be a little lopsided. I believe that team building is one of those important legs, and if you get it right, then you may have given some of the other areas as well. Or you can try to max out a ball. Why not, right? Like, why not just be the absolute best employer that you could be? Try to find me one person who doesn't want to be happier at work, right? It's probably exists, but you're going to have a hard time finding them.
Yeah, no, I recall I had a an older gentleman early in my career who shared with me that you he, this his quote was, "You spend more of your waking hours with your fellow colleagues than you do with your family. You might as well find ways to enjoy it."
Yeah.
And as I look back, I mean, that stuck with me for, I don't know, 20 plus years now of my life. And I think it's so true. The let's find ways to engage, make work engaging, make our team engaging, and have fun. I love that perspective. Who benefits the most from your organiz from your offerings, I'll say. So, is it large companies? Is it small companies? Is it, what types of companies? Do you have a target market or focus area of people who benefit the most or who engage the most and receive the most benefit from what you do?
Yeah, so we've been very fortunate over. So we took on operating as teambuilding.com in 2020, like really the day that the pandemic hit. And before that, we had these independent brands. And with switching to teambuilding.com and with the virtual format of it, we had the chance to work with almost everybody, right? Like if you name a company, we've probably worked with them. We're very fortunate for that. But on top of that, also government organizations, also nonprofits, also educational institutions, et cetera. The core of it, the majority of it is enterprise companies, right? The Apples, the Googles, the Amazons of the world. But I do think that some of the others are maybe an even stronger use case, right? Like you think about Google, it's like, of course, Google's a great employer. You hear about all these incredible things they do, right? Like they have childcare, they do your laundry, like this incredible lunch service every day. On and on and on and on. But other organizations may not be able to afford that, or it may not be part of their industry or the culture or something like this. So, if you're at a nonprofit and your people's hearts are really in it, right? That's why they're there, because they want to serve the mission. Giving them time off to do something together, whether it's with us or like an independent DIY version, totally okay. To just spend the time to have fun. Government organizations are very interesting to me too. So, for example, we did pretty substantial work with the US Air Force during the pandemic. They have a regular, sort of like as part of their training, their curriculum, their connection, they very deliberately make sure that they have time spent doing fun activities together. And huge kudos to them, because I do think that the resulting bonds and connections and communications are stuff that you can kind of only learn when you're having fun. So those ones are still, yeah, big highlights for me.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, yeah, thank you. Thanks for coming on this episode of Optics in Action. So it's Michael Alexis, you're the CEO of teambuilding.com. How do people get in contact with you? Like you've shared some great insights that I think anyone listening to this can benefit from in terms of engaging employees and engaging, the people who may not be engaging and drawing them in, things like that. How do people find out more if they want to learn more from you or if they want to learn more about training.com? What's the best way for them to contact you?
Yeah, so teambuilding.com, if you do want to learn more about the experiences that we offer, we have about 50 different event types, both virtual and in person. There's a self-checkout experience, but you can also jump on the phone with somebody. They'll be able to walk you through the options and suggestions that would be best for you and your team. If you do want to connect with me personally, michaelalexis.com is a good spot to do it. It's an old blog. I haven't written on it in years, but I think there's still some nuggets of wisdom there that are a little bit timeless. So enjoy.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again for being on this episode of Optics in Action, where we spotlight leaders with vision and clarity. And it's clear to me that you've got vision and clarity in what you're doing, how you're doing it, who you're impacting, and the purpose behind it all. So thank you again, Michael, for being on this episode.
It was fun. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to the Optics in Action podcast. If you are interested in the podcast, we welcome you to subscribe on your preferred platform, follow us on LinkedIn, or learn more at epsoptics.com. If you or someone you know is interested in applying to be a guest on this podcast, you can find more information at podcast.epsoptics.com. This is Ryan Weiss, thanking you for listening to Optics in Action.